If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, this morning to the book of Matthew. The scripture said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, so I'm going to have a little bit of fun getting started this morning. And we've been preaching on Christmas, an acrostic, C-H-R, and today the letter is I. And the verse of scripture that I'm going to read, if you'll stand with me, you've been sitting a while, if you're able, stand with me in reverence to God's word, is verse 23 in the book of Matthew. The Bible said, behold, a virgin shall conceive, shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, the I today is going to be Emmanuel. Now, before you look at me like that, turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 7. Isaiah chapter number 7. And let's read verse 14 together. Isaiah, be there in just a moment. Chapter 7 and verse 14. The word of God said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Y'all are already getting it, ain't you? I told my son yesterday on the way home about the discussion that my wife and I had. We were on the way home and she said, honey, what's the I going to be? And she said, Emmanuel. I said, I think that starts with an E. Both of us were pleasantly surprised when we found out that it started with an I as well. I told my son the C was for Christ, the H was for hope, the R, I said I had three R's Wednesday night, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and the R was for redemption, reconciliation, and riches. And my son interrupted me, Brother Gary. He said, Dad, when you get to the S, make that for spelling. Amen. I think I know where the Lord's going to go with the S, but we'll just have to see. Look at chapter 8 in Isaiah and verse number 8. The Bible said, and he shall pass through Judah and shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. So, in the book of Matthew, the Bible tells us that Emmanuel, being interpreted, is God with us. Boy, I'm glad he's with us, aren't you? You can be seated. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you today for the Word of God, and thank you, Lord, that we know the God of the Word. Thank you for these that have come this way today to worship the Lord with us. Lord, thank you for the good special, the good choir singing, the congregational number. Thank you, Lord, for each one that gives that the work of the Lord can go forward. I pray, Lord, you'll help Brother Coulter. I believe you will, Lord, to meet that need with the surgery, the hospital, the doctors, and all that. God, I just pray that you'll just help us as a church. Just keep on helping others. God, you've been so good to us. We are so blessed. And I pray now, Father, that the message would go forth, and God, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I hope that you can block out for just a little while. Brother Jason said that aroma that's coming from that away. Amen. We'll get to that after a while. And concentrate for just a few moments on the Word of God. And I hope that God will just bless you with His Word today. I want to give you, and I'm telling you this because it will get you to praying. If you know me, it will. I'm going to give you seven things this morning. Amen. Those of you that weren't praying, you are now. Amen. I'll give you seven things this morning that the Lord spoke to my heart about in this subject, God with us. The first thing I want to bring to your attention, if you'll turn to Psalm 139, please. Psalm 139. I want to bring some scripture to your attention today that blesses me every time I read it. It's a scripture that would help us if we would just believe it and read it to never be for abortion, because we understand that that's a baby in mama's womb. Amen. And the Bible said in verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also were thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." These verses of Scripture teach us that Emmanuel, God with us, was with us before we were ever born. When we were being developed in our mother's womb, God was with us. Before I ever had the capability of thinking of Him, He was thinking of me. Before you ever had the capability of thinking of Him, He was thinking of you. He had you on His mind. He had you on His heart. I believe not only is God with us before we're born, but God is with us as a child. I believe it's no wonder that Jesus said, "Suffer ye the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven." I want you to think about something this morning, beloved. You could put up, I remember one day, I won't take a lot of time, but I decided that I was going to try to save the church some money. And I like to do that when I can. So I decided, I had a camper parked out here between the buildings. I decided I'd climb up on it, and then it was just a step or two up on the roof. And I took that big brush, that big long-handled brush, and I walked up to the top of the roof. And I mean, it looked like I was skiing. I was leaning into the roof. You look at it out here, it's very steep. And I just thought, well, I'll walk out the ridge cap of that roof there, and I'll see how far I can reach up on that steeple with that brush. But you know what I found out? When I got to the top and looked back down, I wasn't interested in going towards the steeple. I was praying, "God, get me off of this roof." What was I thinking? Amen. I promised the Lord. I said, "Lord, if you'll get me off of here," I said, "I'll never be back up here again." And I mean it. Amen. "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. So I got over there, and going down was a lot different than coming up. And I had my brush to use for a cane. And I got in line with the camper. Brother Larry, I thought, well, worst case scenario, I'll roll, flop on the camper, then I've only got about 10 feet to go to the ground. Amen. But what I'm telling you is, as a child, you could set them up on the pinnacle of that steeple. And you could stand down below them. Brother David, there was a time in your grandchildren's life, your children's, you could have said, "Jump, honey." They would have not even been trying to figure out how high that is. They wouldn't have been trying to figure out, is Papa's back, is it going to make it? They would just jump. That's what the Scripture describes as childlike faith. Beloved, we're not taking a leap in the dark when we come to Jesus. But I tell you what we are doing. We're coming helpless. We can't help ourselves. And we're trusting the One. Beloved, He was lifted up, not on a steeple, but He was lifted up on a cross. And He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And He said this, speaking of the death, that He would die. So God is with us before we're born, and then God is with us as a child. I have many precious childhood memories. I told you of one Wednesday night before my tonsils were removed. I had severe earaches. I don't think there's anything in the world that compares with an earache or a toothache. They're both horrible. Amen. And they make your head feel like it's a pumpkin going to explode. Amen. But I can remember as a child, my mother coming in the bedroom and telling me, honey, Jesus will hear your prayer. Talk to him. He won't hear mine right now, but he'll hear yours. My mama understood something about childlike faith and about that ability for a child to communicate with God. But God is also with us, not only before we're born and not only as a child, Emmanuel, God with us, but he's with us in our lives. I want you to turn to the book of Acts with me, please, for just a moment. The book of Acts in chapter number 17. There's a scripture here that it's not talked about often, but I believe it's worthy of considering today. Acts chapter 17, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 22. Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious." I heard something a while ago, I guess it was yesterday or the day before on the radio, about the psychics. And they said, if you spend this much money, you're guaranteed in your first visit, amen, to get some help. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can look to a psychic if you want to. I'm going to look to the Savior. Amen. I'm going to look to His book. I'm going to look to the Scripture. I'm going to look for something you don't have to guess about that's already settled in heaven. But Paul said here, "I passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you." He said, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things." Now what I want to make a point right here, he didn't say He's given to all Christians. Paul is talking to people that are worshiping the unknown God ignorantly. But he's saying, buddy, you don't understand who you're talking about here. He's the God of heaven. He's the reason you're breathing. You mentioned it a while ago, Brother Jason. He's the reason we got that breath in our chest. Amen. Whether we're saved or whether we're not saved, it's God. In Him we live and move. Watch now. And he said, "He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bound of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us." If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I promise you this, He's not far from every one of us. That's what the Scripture said. Amen. God with us, Emmanuel. He said here, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art of any man's device." You see, beloved, in the Scripture, the Bible said that God created man in His own image. Amen. And beloved, you can't make a man out of gold and silver, and you can't create him. Only the Creator can do that. "And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." I'm telling you, beloved, it blesses me to know that when I was in my mommy's womb, God was with me. When I was a little boy, amen, a little freckle-faced boy, God was with me. But all those years, even after I understood what sin was, and I understood what it meant to lie, and I understood what it meant to take something that didn't belong to me, and I understood what it meant to take something in your mouth you shouldn't take in your mouth, and I understood what it was to lust, God was still with me. And He spared my life till I was 27 years old and had that opportunity when the Spirit of God came by to say yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. God is with us. God is with us before we're born as a child in our lives. But then God is with us in the new birth. Honey, if He wasn't there, it didn't happen. For 2 weeks, I got saved by the grace of God and I did not know my feet were on the ground. I'm telling you, honey, I was a floater. Amen. I've never been so happy in all my life. I'm telling you, I was telling people here, telling them there. That very night, it was Sunday night, it was 2 o'clock in the morning when I knocked on the last door, not even realizing what time it was. And people rubbing sleep out of their eyes. What do you want? I said, God save me. Linda, put on some coffee. Amen. There's a nut out here. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God saved me that night. I'm 2 weeks. I say, what brought you back to earth, preacher? A preacher. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I'll tell you what a preacher did. He said, as far as I'm concerned, you're still not saved. Honey, I'm telling you, it crushed me. I mean crushed my heart. Honey, I landed on planet earth and landed hard. I hung my head and started towards the vehicle. Made about 2 steps and I turned around, looked at him and called his name. I said, brother, and called his name. I said, I need to tell you something. I said, the devil was there the night I got saved. And I said, he knows I got saved. I said, the Lord was there the night I got saved. And he knows I got saved. I said, I was there the night I got saved. And I know I got saved. I said, brother, it really don't matter whether you ever know it or not. Amen to God. You say, Pastor, why would you tell that? I'll tell you why. Ain't nobody ever been saved unless God showed up on the scene. Amen. God with us.
Amen.
Thank God. He's a Savior we can count on. I'm going to give you something. Jesus came to seek. That's what He's looking for. And to save that which is lost. I mentioned this a little while back. And I'm going to mention it again. Elijah, when he was in that cave, I believe some people are looking for some experience that's like lightning bolts from heaven. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. The Scripture said when God comes by, it ain't always lightning bolts that comes from heaven. Let me tell you what I mean. Elijah was in that cave. And the Word of God, I listed them here in the order. He said there was a wind that came by. It rent the rocks. There was an earthquake. But God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire. But God wasn't in the fire. You know where God was? In a still, small voice. Oh, I'm so glad that night that I got to hear the still, small voice of God. Oh, I heard the voice of the devil too. The Lord said to me, you're lost. 6.5 years of church membership. Honey, if that's all you got, you're going to be in trouble when you stand before God. God told the children of Israel, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He didn't say, when I see your baptism certificate, or I see your Sunday school pins, or I see your church membership, or I see what you gave in the offering. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Christ, our Redeemer, died on the cross. Beloved, I thank God that night the Lord said, I love you. Need to get saved. Devil said, they'll laugh at you. He said, they'll throw you out of the church. If I would have just believed the Bible, I wouldn't have had much of a problem that night because God had already said, Brother Larry, he's a liar and the father of a lie. That's all he knows how to do is lie. Lie, lie, lie. That's all the devil knows how to do is lie. And I tell you, that night I made that step forward and Jesus became my Savior. I couldn't have got saved if He hadn't have been there. But He was there. Amen. And I'm glad the Lord helped me to hear that still small voice. Not only is God with us before we're born as a child in our lives and in our new birth, but there's another time that God is with us. He's with us in our Christian life. I'm just going to give you this hurriedly. It's a wonderful study. If you've never studied it out, I want to encourage you to. Start in Genesis chapter 37 and study the life of Joseph. What you're going to find out about Joseph is his situation changed from day to day or year to year. But there's one thing that never changed. Honey, God was with Joseph in the pit. God was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. God was with Joseph, amen, in the prison. And God was with Joseph in the palace. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I got saved and God's been with me ever since. He said, Brother Gary, here's your favorite verse I thought of you last night. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going with you all the way. That's what the Bible said. God is with us. Thank Him this morning. That's why Sister Amanda's singing in the choir. I have a hard time sometimes controlling it because I have been blessed. Honey, I tell you what's the truth. When you get to heaven and God reveals to you how I've been blessed, you're going to look at me like the Queen of Sheba did Solomon and say the half was not told us. Amen. I try to tell it, but I tell you, I can't get it told. But thank God Almighty, I tell you, I have been blessed. Not only, beloved, in being saved, but in the service of our Lord. And then God is with us, not only in our birth and before we were born and as a child in our lives and our new birth and our Christian life. But I thank God that God is with us when it's time to cross the river. A lot of people say, well, God's going to send an angel. I'm not sure about that. Go to Psalm 23 with me just a moment. Psalm 23. I just want to read a little bit of Psalm chapter 23 here. The scripture said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. One preacher said, God's people die well. Why? Why aren't we afraid? Because the Bible said, for thou art with me. he ain't just going with us to the end, Brother Gary. He's going with us across the river. Amen. I love that song. I will not have to cross Jordan alone. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, I can't swim. You'll make it if you're in Jesus. Amen. If that blood's been applied, honey, you'll make it across to the other side. Little boy was memorizing this in Sunday school. I can't hardly read the psalm without remembering it. His first verse came out like this, the Lord is my shepherd, what else could I want? I like that, amen. Honey, when it comes time to leave this old world, what else is going to matter? It ain't going to matter what you drove. It ain't going to matter what you wore. It ain't going to matter what kind of house you lived in. All that's going to matter is the Lord is my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God is with us in our crossing. And then if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, the last thing in the message today, Emmanuel. God is with us in eternity. I spent 10 years of my life before I became pastor here at Bible Way in the prison systems, preaching to men that couldn't hold their children, couldn't hug their wife. Once in a while, depending on the level of the prison you're in, they allowed visitation on Sunday afternoon. Some of the men never got to see their family. And I heard this time and time and time again. In prison, you get food. You got a place to lay down. Better than a lot of people's got out here to lay down. You got a pillow. And you got air conditioning in the summer. And you got heat in the winter. You really don't have any responsibilities. Just when the door goes open, it's time to go to chow hall. If you want something to eat, you go get it. And you go back. But the worst part about prison was the separation. Separation from society. Separation from their family. But you know, I believe with all of my heart, every one of God's children ought to shout this morning, because in eternity, we're not going to be separated from our God. The Bible said, I heard a great voice, verse 3, chapter 21, out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. I read something, if I can find it here in just a moment, I'd like to read it in your hearing. And then I'd like to finish with a verse of Scripture. It'll take me just a moment to find it. I believe that's it right there. It has to do with thirst. Driving up from Beersheba, a combined force of British, Australians, and New Zealanders were passing on the rear of a Turkish retreat over an arid desert. The attack outdistanced its water-carrying camel train. Water bottles were empty. The sun blazed pitilessly out of the sky where the vultures wheeled expectantly. Our heads ached, writes Gilbert. Our eyes became bloodshot and dim in the blinding glare. Our tongues began to swell. Our lips turned to purplish black and burst. Those who dropped out of the column were never seen again, but the desperate force battled on to Syria. There were wells at Syria, and had they been unable to take the place by nightfall, thousands were doomed to die of thirst. We fought that day, writes Gilbert, as men fight for their lives. We entered Syria station on the heels of the retreating Turks. The first objects which met our view were the great stone cisterns full of cold, clear drinking water. In the still night air, the sound of water running into the tanks could be distinctly heard, maddening in its nearness. Yet not a man murmured when orders were given for the battalions to fall in, too deep, facing the cisterns. He then described the stern priorities, the wounded, those on guard duty, the company, then company by company. It took 4 hours before the last man had his drink of water. And in all the time that they had been standing, in that, 20 feet from a low stone wall, on the other side of which were thousands of gallons of water. You say, Pastor, why did you say that? Well, the last verse I want to read in your hearing, verse 17 of chapter 22, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. Are you thirsty this morning? You see, you don't have to wait 4 hours. Would you like to have the peace of God that passes all understanding? Would you like to know that your sin has been forgiven? That when you breathe your last breath on earth, your next breath will be in glory. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. I used to tell men they liked it in prison. They knew a lot more about my background than you all do. Because I think there's some things just among children and teenagers it's not appropriate to say. But I wanted those men to know that I knew something about the other side of the tracks. I'm not proud of what I was, but I'm proud of what Jesus has done for me, how He saved me. But I used to tell the men, when I got saved, I didn't quit drinking, but I did change fountains. See, I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water. I wasn't even ready for this. a wonderful and bountiful supply. They didn't know that just across that little wall, they didn't have to be waiting on the cisterns in line. There was thousands of gallons of water running just across that little wall. This morning I want you to know our God has water sufficient. Would you take a drink this morning? Would you allow the Lord just to satisfy that thirst that's in your heart? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's what the Scripture said. Emmanuel, E and I, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You know what our prayer ought to be, by the way? That every time someone comes through that door, they would say, hey, God's with them.
Amen.
Our lives ought to be such that create a thirst in the lives of others. How many can remember somebody in your life before you were saved and you just thought things like this, I wish I had what they had. You could watch them go through trials and yet they just continued to praise the Lord. You could watch them when the cupboards were empty. They were no different when the cupboards were full. They knew that God was still on the throne and that He would take care of His own. Bow with me this morning, would you please?